Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more information about the City Gate, visit www.thecitygate.org.
I want to get into your heart. It's we've used up a lot of time, and I'm going to try to keep it condensed. But do you remember a couple of weeks ago I spoke to you about the three-cord rope? And we need to understand that, especially in light of this warfare and the war that's going on. But there's a three-cord rope. The center cord is that of a warrior. One of the cords is that of a statesman. And one of the cords is that of those that are pressing into the intimacy of God. And so today I want to talk with you about this warrior spirit so you can understand. Now, here's what I want you to understand. There's a warrior inside every one of us. There's a statesman inside every one of us. And there is inside of us that intimacy with God, that desire for that bedroom intimacy, I call it, inside every one of us. Now, it could be someone like me, the warrior spirit is more dominant than it might be in someone like Katie or someone like Vicky or Dawn or somebody like that or Chris or George or Michael, whoever. But you got to understand, it takes all of these cords working together if we're going to make war in the heavens, if we're going to pull down some of the principalities that need to come down. It's so important to understand that. See, I used to believe that evil spirits would draw evil people to a certain place. But what I've come to understand in this, that evil people yielding to the temptation and the repeated acts of sin draws evil spirits to them. And what starts as an assignment will later become a fortified principality if it's not dealt with. Can you say amen? And so it's important. I did the research. How many of you know that San Francisco is known to be an area that is greatly populated by people that have a homosexual lifestyle? And I have done the research and I have determined and discovered how that came to be. Back when they began to bring people from the Far East there to dig in the gold mines and to do the mining around there, people that I could say Chinese or whatever, but people from the Far East, they brought with them opium. And in the process of opium, one of the things in the addiction to opium, it causes you to have urges that are unclean and sexual and out there. And that's what happened. The pervertedness began to come in as an assignment through that. And it has now become a principality that's in that area. Are you seeing me? But what I want to talk with you this morning is about the four DNA blockers of a warrior. I want you to help see that there's a warrior in you. Kathy, can I pick on you a lot this morning? Okay? Kathy is an incredible warrior. I've actually watched, I think as much as anybody I know, her warrior skills grow in recent years tremendously. Because Kathy's motivation, her main motivation is mercy. She's compassionate. She just wants intimacy, and she just wants to love everyone. You know, I posed a question recently on it. You know, people are struggling right now how to deal with sin. But, you know, every time that Jesus dealt with sin, he would tell them, go and sin no more. And I asked a question on Facebook this week. Did he offend the lady who was caught in adultery when he told her not to sin no more? You know, I've got someone that I know that is, has they live in a foreign nation, but they're going to become licensed to do same-sex marriages. Now, can I share with you? That is not saying go and sin no more. Listen, I can love the sinner, but I don't have to enable their sin. Are you hearing me? And there's a warrior spirit inside every one of us that's in this room, and I want you to catch this. Now, number one, let's begin with these DNA, the divine nature of God activated in you. The divine nature activated is what I'm talking about. Number one, let's look at these, the north, the south, the east, and the west. How many of you know those are important things? You know, we have to know, are you going north? Are you going south? You going in? Especially if you're a plane that's flying. See, these are points for clear direction and destiny. A warrior always knows what the plan is and where the clear direction so that he can fulfill or she can fulfill the destiny. They can fulfill the destiny. And so it's important to understand that in these four DNA blockers that the north, south, and east, and west speaks of the very fact that warriors have a sense of direction about them. They have a sense of destiny. It's compelling them. How many of you, you know, I heard it in Jim Lehman today when he talked about, did you use the word angry? Is that the word you used? I'm trying to remember. But how many of you know Jesus told us, say, be angry and sin not? But see, the opposite of that with it is under a lot of people in the church religiously think that you can't show any kind of intensity or anger because you're sinning. Not all anger is sin. When Jesus went in angry, filled with righteous indignation, and turned the tables over and said, you're a den of thieves, and you've turned the house of God into a den of thieves. When he turned it over and he called, even in another place, he called them whitewashed tombstones. This is what he said. He never did violate. He never sinned. He was operated totally in unconditional love. And we're going to have to bring the two tensions of these extremes if we're going to get our nation back. We can no longer look the people that are in sin in the eye and tell them it's okay. Yes, God loves them. His love for sinners is unconditional, but we don't have to tolerate or enable them to begin to continue in their sin. And so it points for clear direction and destiny accomplished. Warriors want to finish the mission. I talk about it sometimes with men and women. How many of you know that when a woman goes shopping, she's looking for something totally different from a man? Let me show you how when I didn't purchase this shirt, but if I did, if I'd went to purchase this shirt, I'm looking for something black. I know it's going to be in a 2X. I know this, I know that, I know everything about it. And with that, and I want to tell you, if I can get in and out of that store after looking at the sale rack in 9 minutes, man, I've accomplished because I'm on a mission. But when a woman goes shopping, it's totally different. She's out for an experience. She doesn't care if she tries on 26 dresses and buys none of them, because the very trying on of the dresses is part of the experience. It doesn't make men better or women weaker or women better and men weaker. It's simply the way that God built us. And it's sometimes, how many of you women, sometimes you're on a mission? I need a dozen eggs and a loaf of bread, and I want to get in and out of this place because they're crazy at Kroger's. Come on, you've thought that way. But for the most part, I remember years ago, back in the early 90s, Susan and I began to prosper a little bit. We were no longer so broke we couldn't pay attention, and I carried her shopping one day in Memphis we were going to upgrade our clothes to another level. We were starting to, you know, get a little bit of exposure and run. I was running with Rick Godwin in those days a little bit and some things. And I remember I carried her shopping and she was looking for this one dress, you know, with that. And, you know, after trying on 26 dresses, I'm begging her, just buy one. Will you please? But they're too high. I said, honey, look, I got the money. We can do this. Come on, just buy one. And she's about to leave the place because she would not pay the price of this one dress that she liked. And the lady that worked in the store pulled her aside and said, if you'll go look on the sale rack over there, that identical dress is over there for half price. Whew, mission accomplished. I mean, it was like, whew, thank you, Jesus, for answering my prayer. I thought we were going to live in Goldsmiths. Okay, you know, I thought we'd be here the rest of our life, you know, with it. You know, are you hearing me? We are different in makeup, but there's a degree of warrior in every person in this room. Number two, another blocker is seasons, spring, summer, fall, and winter. See these four seasons that teach us discernment for preparation. How many of you ladies, you know, when fall starts coming in, you begin to get concerned about your children's winter coats or maybe a different pair of shoes. You're not going to run around in flip-flops in the winter that much, you know, if the weather was drastically cold here or something. And so when we talk about these four blockers, we understand that the seasons say something to us. There's a place out there called The Master Shift, and they've got a lot of new age in it. And a friend of mine and I are getting published on it now, and they just recently published the saying that I have that said, you'll never be prepared for the season that's coming if you despise the season you're in. How many of you know the people that complain the most about the summer heat complain the most about the winter cold? You know, I mean, Susan and I have this little thing about it. I don't ever look at the weather. I don't ever want to know what the weather's going to be doing because I just adapt. I'm just fluid and flexible. Now, she loves the weather. I don't want y'all to know, but she has an addiction to the Weather Channel. Because anytime I come home from a trip, it's on the Weather Channel. I mean, she can watch it 24/7. It's like, it's going to be what it is. You know, I mean, watching the weather doesn't change the weather. It's going, they're saying some rain this afternoon. And so it's going, if it rains, it rains. If it, you know, with another thing too, why is it that everybody's so afraid of a little water that falls out of the sky? You ever seen how people run? And man, I like to just walk in the rain every once in a while.
Hairspray.
Oh, okay. Like I don't use any. Okay. Are you hearing me? It speaks about the seasons that teach discernment for preparation. What are you prepared for? You know, I had a great day yesterday. I spent yesterday with my son and my grandson on the deer farm that we have. And we were checking cameras and we were filling feeders and we saw about six deer. I saw the smallest little fawn. Normally by now they're a lot bigger yesterday. And the spots everywhere, just beautiful. We had such a great time. And I mean, the pastures down there have not been able, they've gotten so much rain down in Tallahatchie County that they've not been, and the grass was this tall and the chiggers were everywhere, I want to tell you. I mean, they were just everywhere. But it was a great day. You know, just being with my grandson and working with my son. And I mean, just, you know, we just had such a fantastic time. But what I want you to understand, everything we're doing right now, it was hot yesterday. How many of you noticed that? It was hot. But everything we're doing right now, all that hard work yesterday, moving deer stands and moving things and getting ready, well, I want to tell you, we're preparing for what's coming. I'm not despising the heat yesterday. I enjoyed the heat and the hard work because there's a payday coming. There's a reward that's coming. Number three, another part of this DNA blocker is the earth, the wind, the fire, and water. These are the four elements that make up the elements of our universe. Warriors recognize those four distinctions. They recognize the fact that the earth is made up of soil, and we were taken from that soil. You know, every one of us, you know, everything that's ever been in the earth is still in the earth. That every person that died in the flood of Noah is still in the earth, just in a different form. Remember he said, you began as dust and dust you'll return. Kind of a paraphrase, but it's close. And so a warrior understands that we've got to recognize the earth, but we also got to understand what the wind. How many of you know right now the winds are not contrary? The winds are very sure what's going on. God's waking the church up. Amen? And the wind of God that's blowing is either going to put some people to sleep or is going to wake them up. My wife saw this, what, Susan, 6 years ago, 7 years ago now? She saw this big wave coming that the wind was driving, this big, and she saw some people that ran from it and were fearful and hid from it, and they missed the current move of God. And others recognized that this wind was sent from God, and they just stepped up on top of it, and they began to ride that wave. I remember when she told me about it, I knew that the sound of God was in what she was saying. And what she was seeing, what God would. And so I want to tell you, as a warrior, you're going to understand the earth, the wind. How about the fire? Let me just tell you what it represents. How many of you going through a little bit of refiner's fire right now? use of that? Listen, you can either give it up freely at the altar or he'll burn it out of you. Amen? You know, I have to tell you, it's much easier to give it up than it is to have it burn out of you when you yield to it. And then the last, how about water? You know, I remember years ago, how many of you remember years ago when they were talking about we've entered into the age of Aquarius and all that? Let me just tell you, I'm prophesying to you, we have moved into the age of Aquarius. I'm not trying to be new age on what I'm trying to tell you. There is an outpouring of Holy Spirit that is here in the earth right now. It's in small pockets, but it's growing, and we're going to see it. Well, you know, one of the things I was asking God this week about, and I'll say it to you, we don't see enough people come in and be born again. There's something wrong. I'm asking God, what's wrong with me? You know, something needs to shift. Something is not right, because we need to start seeing people born again. I know this. God has told me to get a baptistry. I'm not talking about this and back here. I want a baptistry where we can roll out on the floor it's on a timer switch, that every Saturday night it kicks on, warms the water up where we can roll it in here. So I believe we're coming to a day that we're going to have people born again. Every Sunday we're going to need to baptize them every Sunday. When they get born again, we're going to have people that can carry them back there and give them a 15-minute sermonette on what water baptism is about. And then we're going to bring them in here. And whoever leads, it's not going to be me baptizing them. Amen? It's going to be those that are connected to them, those that's going to disciple them. Am I painting you a picture? We got to prepare. I believe one of the reasons is because we're not prepared for it. You know, Art and Wanda are not with us today, but what I want you to understand that we, in the elders or leaders meeting the other day, we were talking about developing a discipleship. We need to write some little brochures, you know, not as big as a Brother Hagin book, but just some things about salvation, about discipleship, things that we believe here, and get them in print and make them look good and put them on the table for people to pick up out here. Who's going to step up in this house and help us do it? Well, you know, you've got elders and leaders here. We're not to do it all. We're here to equip you. Some of you have got better writing skills than we do. And you're sitting back on your thumbs. Wondering, what is my ministry? Listen, your ministry don't start full bloom. I shared with Diana today, the young woman I did her wedding, Kessia. When she was 12 years old, she's only 18 the other day, or turned 19, 2 days after we performed her wedding. But when she was 12 years old, I gave her a word. The Lord's calling you to be a worship leader. 9 months later, I was back in her dad's church and she was leading worship. Wasn't even 13 years of age. And I pulled her to the side and I said, I mean, I'm telling you, she hadn't sang on the worship team. She'd never played a guitar. She'd never done anything. And I said, what did you do? She said, I did what you taught us. I said, what did I teach you? She said, I typed that prophetic word out and I began to pray it. And it began to come alive in me. And I went to my daddy and I said, Daddy, I can't be a worship leader without a guitar. And he bought me a guitar. And I began to play that guitar 4 to 5 hours every day singing. And in 9 months' time, and she's an incredible worship leader today at 18 years of age. Why? Because she applied the word. Now, how many of you think you love me? But I'm going to help you understand whether you do or not. See, most of you have this mindset as a charismatic that God gives you a gift and it comes fully developed. That ain't kingdom. There's not one seed that of anything in the earth that you can plant today and it bears fruit tomorrow. That's kingdom. He said seed time and heart. But we have this idea. See, some of you are still growing in the prophetic, but you don't want to grow in the prophetic. You want to be as good as Vicky overnight. Let me share something with you. What's going to determine your warrior spirit and how good you become is what cost will you pay. I look around what Jim mentioned a little bit. Listen, I love this younger generation, but they ain't paid the price that some of us older dudes have done. They ain't had the lies told on them yet. I don't know about you, but they ain't had, you know, we had this experience. They ain't had the drugs planted in their car and the sheriff's department called. They ain't gone through some of the things that, and still able to love. Someone asked me recently, said, I don't know how you trust anybody because I choose. See, trust is not earned. It's a choice. I know you said you're going to have to earn. No, you choose to trust someone. Then it's validated by them operating properly. But if you don't choose to trust someone, they'll never earn your trust. I want you to think on that. That's good preaching right there in itself. Earth, wind, fire, water. Let me give you the last one. Every warrior has this in. They have a king's mindset. Warriors want dominion. I want dominion of the Mid-South. I want 100 churches within 100 miles knitted together in prayer that we can pull down that principality. I want to get these churches put together with it. I'm meeting with an African-American pastor tomorrow for lunch. We've got to pull it together because we've got to stop the murder in Memphis. Just as we've got to stop what's going on in Israel, over at Gaza, what's going on in Iraq, we've got to attack this thing, but we've got to do it corporately. And we've got to understand the kingdom is about the king's domain. So were we not created in his image, or did I misread that? Didn't it say we were created in his image? Listen, if we were created in his image, then we need to understand we are here to establish his kingdom. But I heard it what Jim Lehman said today, and I agree. It's too many wanting to build their own kingdom. We don't trust God near as much as we trust many things today. Jobs and paychecks and how about this last DNA blocker? A king, a warrior, a disciple, and a friend. See, these are the four rhythms that's in every warrior. How many of you know that sometimes a warrior just has to sit down with a friend? If I'd have been one of those preachers that puts this thing well, I could have shown you a couple of conversations that William Wallace had with one of his friends out of that movie. I could show you different things of where men that were strong and women that were strong. Look at some of the strong women that we've had in the world. Look at Mother Teresa. But she was so loving. So, I want to tell you something. There's a few quotes out there where she put her finger in people's faces and the warrior came out of her. She brought forth truth in such a way that it began to prevail. Because, see, there's a warrior in you. I don't care how mercy motivated. I don't care what's going on with you. There is a warrior spirit in you. I want that warrior spirit woke up. I'm not telling you to do away with your statesman spirit. I'm not telling you to do away with that desire for bedroom intimacy, that lover spirit that's inside of you. All those things are needed. But right now, what we need in the Mid-South is a bunch of warriors stepping up and saying there is a cause. Not only is he going to fall, I'm going to sever his head with his own sword because he ain't getting up again. I want to tell you something. I don't believe when he fell, you know, I've heard preachers say, you know, that Goliath had some brothers. I don't believe his brothers begin to tremble when he fell. But I want to tell you, when David took Goliath's own sword and cut his head off, his brothers began to flee at that moment. Fear came into their heart because a warrior is going to bring it forth in such a manner. There's a warrior in you. My African-American friend, we're going to make a difference among the young men and women that are being killed. I care just as much about them as the ones of my race. I probably care more. Because they're the ones that's dying. It's tragic what's going on in Memphis right now. It's unheard of. And we can make... No, I stand corrected, Lord. We will make a difference. How many of you know there's a total different attitude? Can I tell you one of my famous stories? Years ago, I was crop dusting one day, and every time I'd go, it was late one afternoon, I'd go across the field and I'd pull up. There was another crop dusting service in another field crawl, and we'd kind of see each other as we, you just have to understand what that business is like. And we had hammerhead those old biplanes that we had and back across that field, and that we'd see each other on the other end because we were not in the same field, but we were going across. And I got down to one end and I pulled up and I looked and he wasn't nowhere. And I got to looking and there was smoke coming and he had crashed and the pilot burned to death. And I landed my plane in the field where he had crashed and to see if I could help him, and it was too late. And I called my dad on a two-way radio and they sent the fire department down there and everything with that. And my dad drove up in his pickup, and I remember saying to my dad, "Dad, call one of the other pilots, or I'll drive your truck back and you can fly that plane." I don't think I can fly that plane back. I'm probably maybe going to offend some of you, but this is what my dad said to me. He said, "You get your butt in that plane, you fly it back to that airport." My dad knew there was a warrior in me. And he knew if I succumbed to what I was seeing and smelling and hurting, and because I knew this guy that died that day. And I got myself in that plane. I flew it back to the airport and I went on flying. You know, my flying career could have ended that day because I could have let that one act of disobedience cause me to get into a place of fear and doubt. What if it happens to me? I remember fighting those thoughts for a while, but I overcome them and I moved beyond that. A warrior? How about a disciple? See, inside every one of us, there needs to be a disciple. I love to tell this story. I met a guy from Mozambique years ago in a conference. I'd heard about this guy, but I finally met him. I had a 10-minute conversation with him, and I heard that he had discipled hundreds of people. And I said, "Tell me how you're discipling people." And he went through this whole thing, and it was nothing like anything I'd ever heard. And he said, "But but you must understand, my disciples are not a disciple until they've discipled one." Wow, if a tree falls in the forest, no one's there. My disciples are not disciples until they have. How many of you know, are we really Christians before we become Christ-like? That's the reason I'm moving away from calling myself a Christian and I call myself a follower of Jesus. How many of you know there's a lot of Christians in this nation, but there's not as many followers of Jesus? I know Christians that believe that they can do anything and live any way and do everything and do all of this, and yet to be a Christian means you're Christ-like. Are you hearing me? See, this is the four rhythms. A king, a warrior, a disciple. How about a friend? Warriors need friends. Warriors need friends. Man, never forget my friend, Dutch Sheets. Some of you maybe know the story, some of you don't, but there was a period of time when my dad was dying that I was not allowed because his caregiver would not allow me to talk to my dad. I was not allowed on their property to speak to my dad or to see my dad. And one day my friend, Dutch Sheets, called me and was encouraging me. And he said, "I know it's hard. I know you're close to your dad." And he said, "I just felt like I need to pray for you today." And he started praying for me. And I always keep my little recorder with me in case something prophetic or something profound say, with that, I can pick it up and say that again or something. And I had it right there on the table. And while Dutch is praying for me, my dad's phone rings in. And I don't even get off in time to take the call, but I tell Dutch, and then I get off there and I call my dad back, and my dad, says a few things that I'm not going to repeat because they've been healed now, but not about me, but about the person who is his caregiver. And then he said to me, he said, "Son, I just want you to know there's a good chance we're not going to see each other again in this life. But you've been a good son. You've never failed me." And he began to speak my inheritance over me. He began to speak my blessing. And I haven't recorded. I mean, I'm so glad it was sitting on the table. I don't think he was in a mental state. Dad, wait a minute, I need to record this. I would have missed it. But it was, see, God knows how. But I needed my friend Dutch Sheets to call me that day and pray for me. It was hard. You don't know the nights during that time. One night I'd go to bed crying my eyes out, and the next night I'd go to bed thinking about hurting people. And you don't live there, you're not living in reality. Come on. Let me tell you about this house. The one thing about this house and the leaders here that we have, we're going to keep it real. We struggle just like you do. Just because we're called to be in Ephesians 4:11 gift doesn't mean I actually, you know, no, I'd probably be wrong. I'd be a victim mindset to say we suffer more than you do. We don't. We just think we do. Amen? We probably get shot at more than you do because we're the forerunners, the point people. Are you with me? See, these are the four rhythms. So you got to have that king's mindset. You got to have that order, but you also got to operate. How many of you know you got to operate as a disciple? And then you got to operate having a friend. Let me finish up. Let me tell you about this king. That king rhythm in a warrior, it's always about a provisionary heart. Every decision I make in this ministry is how I can I provide for you? How can I make you better? How can I help Everett? How can I serve Diana? How can I see Star fulfill her ministry? How can I give you the platform? How can I be strong enough that you can stand on my shoulders and see further than you can see standing on your own two feet? And if you don't think that's really who I am, then you haven't got close enough to me to understand. Because decisions we make here, I was sharing with someone this morning, and I don't share this, the offering's been taken, but, you know, the giving's been down this summer. And you know, now that I have two house payments, you know, normally, let me tell you how it operates here. When the giving's down and things get lack, I just tell Susan, just give our paycheck back. I'm not in that position right now. I'm not scared. You know what it tells me, Jim? I'm going to really have to trust God. Amen? That's all that it means to me. And I listen, I've spent 30-some years walking on water. You don't do what people like Susan and I have done or others that's in this room without learning how to walk on water is a way of life. I know Peter had one experience, but listen, when you are ministry called, you learn that it's a way of life to do it. And so that king and a warrior, it's about a provision. It's a provisionary heart providing. My dad put it in me years ago when he put this warrior spirit in me. Every business, we had 17 corporations one time, and every time we start a new one, he said, son, you got to look at how many mouths do you have to feed to make this business successful. He said, you can't have one man less or one man more than what you need, but you got to have every man that you need. And he said, I'll be honest with you, you know, in the 60s and 70s, paychecks weren't near as big as they are today. Cost of living were not, but we still had to believe for every one of them, whether they made $8,000 a year or $20,000 a year. Are you hearing me? So you got to look at it. You know, how many people are we going to have to feed out of this thing? This business, you know, how many of you know paychecks have to be, you're not going to work anywhere very long that they don't pay you. I'm aware of a ministry right now that's not being able to pay their staff, and it breaks my heart. They're going through a pruning or whatever that you want to call it, and it breaks my heart. How about this warrior? See, the warrior part of us has a protective heart. Warriors just want, listen, they just want to protect something. And I'm not talking about in a defensive mode as much as in an offensive mode. We've had too many defensive warriors, and God's wanting to move us into offensive. If I knew, you drive a Buick car, or what is it, an Oldsmobile? A Buick. If I knew that that particular model Buick car that Everett drives had a particular weakness in it, and I came to it, I would go to him to be offensively protected and say, you know, You need to understand that you need to do this for it. I've done that with you, Amos. I've told you, I know a few things about cars, and I've said things to people about, you know, this weakness. You need to really watch this, and you need to change the oil more often in it, or you need to do this, or you need to do that. See, the warrior in us wants to, has a protective heart, and it doesn't want to just protect us. And let me just share something with you. My book's coming together, the 12 greatest lessons I've learned, and one of those lessons is this. Don't protect your heart with your gift with your heart. I say, yeah, don't protect your gift with your heart. Protect your heart with your gift. Let me tell you what warriors have a tendency sometimes. They put their heart out there to protect their gifting. If somebody questions your propheticness and it begins to damage your heart, it's because you got your heart out in front of your gifting. You need to take your prophetic gifting and always protect your heart. Are you hearing me? When you protect your heart with your gifting, you're not going to walk in and say, I used to, my heart would just open. Everybody, every Tom, Dick, and Harry that came through the door, I let them just walk right into my heart. I shut the doors just like they're supposed to be there. I only let those into my heart that God says. And somebody religiously wrote me recently, said, I heard you make that statement. And how in the world can you love people if you don't let them in your heart? Listen, love flows out in your heart. It's not about being in your heart. You start letting somebody besides your spouse get in your heart, you're in trouble. We love on different levels. And I let those that are truly sons and daughters in my heart, I let them into my heart. But you better understand, that warrior has a protective heart toward you. The disciple. Let me tell you about that disciple's heart. They have a teaching heart. They want to teach, but they also are teachable. I'm so tired of the people that think they know it all. And I love these young warriors that's coming on. In fact, Dutch was supposed to be here in September, and I released him this week because he got a chance to do with a conference with a bunch of up-and-coming young revivalists. And I so felt God spoke to my heart. I said, look, I just want to release you on those days. Go do this, because if we're going to marry the cultures and we're going to marry the generation, this younger group of people are going to have to learn some honor. I don't care. I'm going to share something with you. I don't care how gifted you are. If you need to understand. And beside that, we're the body of Christ. You need to hear me. I'm going to speak prophetic. We're moving out of moving in gifting and anointing. We're moving into moving out of the breath of God. Your gifting and anointing is limited by you, by me. But the breath of God is never limited. And there are times. How many of you were here back in October on that Saturday when we began to prophesy about the evergreen tree and some of the things that took place in there? How many? Hold your hand up here. That was out of the breath of God. That wasn't my gifting. That wasn't Duck Cheeks' gifting. That wasn't Don Lynch's gifting. I heard things that day I don't have the ability to hear. And when the breath of God begins to flow, there's no limit on it. I'm telling you, I'm limited in my gifting. I know in part and I see in part. But when I yield and let the breath of God flow me, there's limitations are removed. I'm on to something. The guys that are around me that I'm sharing this word with, they're saying, man, come on, dig us out some more. Help us out. I don't know if we can understand it. It's about yielding to it. But I'm telling you, when the breath of God comes, something different happens. We had the breath of God Sunday night. I was with an incredible worship leader from over in England, Laura Martin. And I mean, just incredible, phenomenal worship. And the breath of God came into the room over there, and miracles just began to happen everywhere. Finishing up. The friend. This speaks of a loving heart. Warriors are lovers. They love the intimacy just as much as those that love the bedroom intimacy, but they're not going to let the bedroom intimacy keep them from getting the job done. That's the difference. And we've got a lot of people that want the intimacy, but they don't want to pay the price to have it. You know, how many of you realize that you don't have to worship, or you don't have to pray, or you don't have to read the Bible to get into the presence of God? The presence of God is there. You just got to focus on it. Just, you know, I sit out. We so love our new home. Oh, my God. It was designed for us. And I'm spending far more time just sitting out back. And the other day, I was just sitting out back. And all of a sudden, my mind began to think, I got to do this, and we need to do that, and that needs to be changed. And man, somewhere in that room, and there's a box that's got all that stuff in it that I need and all that. And then I said, no. And I just began to pray, focus on the presence of God. And Mitch, I'm sitting there in a chair right at the back of our house, and right out of the flower bed, a little squirrel just almost ran across my toe. Stop right. I'm talking on the phone. The phone rings about that. He doesn't even stop. Doesn't even scare him. He looks at me like, I'm God's creature. You're God's creature. We're okay. And he went over, you know, another part. I mean, he was not scared. He was not spooked. Not even, why? Because I begin to focus on the presence of God. The presence of God is filled with God's creation. It ain't, listen, if you got to have worship to get in the presence of God, you don't know the God that I know. Worship can focus us. Today, in the worship we had, we focused on the presence of God, and it became bigger because we focused on it. Let me finish up. Let me tell you another thing about a warrior. They have initiative. The definition of initiative is the power or opportunity to act or take charge before others do. That warrior mindset, you know, I know it's a rough movie. I know, you know, whatever, but you ought to, listen, if you really want to see some warriors, watch Lone Survivor. I know some of you are so squirmish you don't want to see it, but I'm just telling you, you have to understand a warrior is, he has initiative. He's not going to sit back and let others do it. Man, my grandson Logan, Robert Logan Nash, has got a warrior spirit in him. I love it. I'll get in trouble because they're watching, but the two little Steve and Kelly's daughters come over and they get together, Logan is the boss. You know, when my granddaughters come from North Carolina, Logan is the boss. That warrior spirit, you know. They got a perpetual game of hide and go seek going all the time now when Logan comes to our house. You know, he doesn't hardly get come see us anymore. He wants to go see the next door neighbors and have time. Another thing about a warrior, they have discipline. The definition is showing a controlled form of behavior or way of working. Listen, if you don't have discipline in your life, you'll never be. I wish I'd have thought about it and had Chuck look it up or something, but there's a movie out there, Chuck, where Sean Connery, I think it is, I believe I'm right on it, he takes his thumbs and he is able to subdue a guy. How many of you know that wasn't because his thumbs are any tougher than your thumb? That was because he had discipline. He knew exactly where to put those thumbs, where the guy that he was putting his thumbs on was tender. Amen? I won't go into the graphics of it, but years ago we had an elders meeting in Dyersburg, and two elders came out of that meeting. One of them had a broke ankle and the other had cracked ribs. A guy demonically manifested. And one of our elders was the bedroom intimacy elder. And he kept saying, he tried to take a butcher knife and cut himself. He tried to jump through a pitcher window. He tried to do all of this stuff. And this one compassionate pastoral, Mr. Mercy, he said, don't get too rough with him. We might hurt him. You know who got hurt? I got the broke ankle. Are you hearing me? And I don't want to be too graphic, but finally we were trying to pin him down, and it was demonic. I mean, he was bouncing five guys around like we were nothing. But I got a hold of a certain part of his body that's very tender, and I got a handful of it. And I squeezed him down till he yielded, and the police came and took him to the mental institute. And you say, well, you ought to be ashamed. You say, no, I'm not ashamed a bit. If I had it do over, I'd have just knocked him out in the beginning and called the police. I don't sound very, I'm not a pastor. I don't sound very, he wasn't being with us. I'm telling you, when the guy comes at you with a butcher knife, you know, not one of the elder, but the guy in that city that two guys tried to rob him one night, pulled a knife on, tried to run. He said, I bind you up in the name of Jesus. And they laid his entrails out on the sidewalk in front of him. There's sometimes when you have that power, you can do things. I'm not against it, but there's other times you need to be wise. Let me move on. Aggressive. Warriors are aggressive. In other words, pursuing one's aims and interests forcefully. We talked about being aggressive today. The kingdom of God suffered violent, and the violent receive it. They take it by force. What is it you want? I've never seen, please, I've never seen the likes of people right now that want ministries, but they don't want to pay the price for it. They don't want alignment. They don't want relationship. They don't want sacrifice. They don't want to do without. They just want to wake up tomorrow and be Mr. Wonderful and get on the Shark Tank. They just want to go from 0 to 60 in 1.4 seconds. They want to have something that they're not willing to pay a price. Listen, Peter paid a price. The Bible doesn't tell us a lot about it, but when Jesus put that ear back on that guy, I bet you Peter got a bit of a talking to. Are you hearing me? How would you like to be recorded in God's word for the only apostle to cuss? Come on. I want you to think about something. Come on, I'm trying to shake you out of your tree today and help you understand. Aggressive. And then the last part of his DNA of a warrior is surrender. That means cease resistance. Submit to authority. Abandon oneself entirely to something. I close with this. How many of you think you love me? Some of your greatest problem here is you can't abandon yourself to any one thing. You'll never become victorious until you can surrender and give your all to at least one thing. Won't that settle in on you? Joseph, when I was preparing this message this morning, the final touch of, and this came to me, I thought about you. You're trying to change everything around you, and nothing's going to change until you find one thing you can overcome in. When you find that one thing that you can overcome, when you find that one, what is it you can totally give your heart to? Totally, totally, undeniably give your heart to. What is it that you can? When you can find that one thing, he will show you another. And when he shows you another, you'll step up to the next one. I believe when God dropped this into my heart this morning, because it wasn't part of the message of this morning, I believe he was showing me about part of my journey, because I want to tell you something. I'm either dead still or wide open. And most of the time, I'm only dead still right before I go wide open. I make 100% commitments to the things I do, or I don't make commitments to it at all. Surrender, cease resistance, and submit to authority. Abandon oneself entirely. I'm going to carry this series on next week, and I'm going to talk about this. Either the statesman or the I'm going to quit calling it bedroom intimacy, because I heard this in the spirit. I'm going to call it lovers. How many of you know there's people in the body of Christ, they just want to love, 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 love. And that's right. Don't hear me. I'm not putting it down. But I want to tell you something. Sometimes love puts your finger in somebody's face and said, that won't work. You better not do it. I get in trouble. But when Lakeland Revival broke out, I talked to Dutch Sheets and Robert Henderson and other men. The Lord spoke to me. He said, it'll come and go. It'll be like a shooting star, and he will be exposed in adultery. How many of you know I didn't miss hearing God? I'm talking about a man. I'm not trying to embarrass him now, and I pray that he's restored. And I, you know, with it, I knew him years ago and everything. But I heard that, and Dutch even went to a certain man and you know, appealed to him not to endorse it yet. Let it go a little bit further, because he knew that word I was carrying. Listen, I did that in love. I didn't do that to pull somebody down. I love that man of God. And I want to see the best for him. But how many of you know we do not need the body of Christ further wounded by the mishaps and the wrongful doings and moral failures of men and women? We need integrity. Stand to your feet. Father, I bless your people today. I bless them with integrity. I bless them. I prophesy into every person in this room, and I declare that warrior spirit within them is coming alive because it's needed now to transition this Mid-South, to transition this nation, to transition their own household, to transition their own house, their body. And so I declare, Lord, it doesn't mean they quit being lovers, or it doesn't mean they quit being statesmen, but right now we just need the warrior. Let me just help you. I just saw something. I want to, the scripture says in 1 Corinthians, I think it's 14, it said, let everything be done decent and in order. Now, the statesman said, let it be done in order, but the warrior said, but let it be done, even if it brings a little bit of disorder for a while. You need to realize some of you so want everything tidy and right at line upon line and precept on. You're missing it. I'm not putting you down. I'm telling you, it was confirmed today about this war and about the terrorists. I will not surrender this nation to Islam. I will not. Post it on Facebook. Do what you want to. Somebody's got to stand up and say there's a cause. And there's a cause. And these pastors that are letting Islam meet in their building, there's a African-American church that I've been friends with. The pastor originally had someone of Islam, of the Muslim faith, come and speak on a Sunday in their pulpit in this city. Farrakhan used to preach in numerous Kojic churches in this city. I have the tapes of where he would greet them in the name of Allah. I've listened to cassette tape. It was the beginning. Why do you think that, and can I tell you, they were African-American churches where he came. Why is it that there is such a chaos going on among our young black men right now? It's because the founding fathers of the Pentecostal movement in this city have allowed things to come into their pulpits that should have never come in. And dang, I wish I was African-American so I could really tell it like it was. I'm just, you know, he's just picking. He's a white man. He can't do it. No, let me tell you what I carry as my credential. The word of the Lord has come to me three times. I'm a Moses to the black people of Memphis. I'm a deliverer. And I'm going to preach it. I'm not leaving out the whites today, but I'm not picking on the blacks. I'm just telling you, I cried watching the news the other night about some of these kids being shot in this food. And all it is, I'm going to close. I'm going to tell you a story. I get on a train in Stirling, Scotland. That's the home of William Wallace. I'm with a friend of mine. I'm not going to incriminate him. And a bunch of hooligans got on the plane. It was five on the train. And they had just signed up for the military, and they were drinking hot beer, and they were drunk out of their head, and the train was crowded. And the first thing that happened, Susan and I couldn't sit beside each other, and she had to sit right over in the midst of these foul-mouthed guys. So I just stood up beside my seat and started staring. And the main mouthy bully of the whole bunch looked at her and said, "Is that your husband back there?" She said, "It is." He told the guy sitting beside her, he said, "Get up and let her husband come sit here." And he began to engage me. It was right during the, I guess that would have been the Kuwait War. It was Kuwait, I think. And he began to really get on Bush's case. And I tell you, I kind of like George W., you know? And so I began, and I could defend him so well, he got up and left our car. Went somewhere else. And I didn't get ugly with him. I just knew my information better than he knew it. And so later on he came back and he was even more drunk and he got more vulgar. And the man I'm traveling with told him, said this to him, because he got very vulgar with a young woman. And my friend stood up who's older than me and he looked that young bully in the eye and he said, "Son, you know what your problem is?" And the young boy's answer was, "No, Mr. American, I expect you're going to tell me." He said, "Your problem is you ain't had the right man whoop you yet." Now, I'm not told we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. But can I tell you something? Some of these young men just need to run into the right older man that can teach them some discipline. And I'm not talking about physically. I remember an older man sitting me down years ago when I was in some major, major trouble that my dad didn't yet know about. And he set me down and he talked to me strong. But he talked to me compassionately. And I didn't get born again because he didn't talk to me about Christ. He just talked to me about a life change, and I made that life change. And it saved me from going to prison, and it saved me from taking a man's life. We need to rise up. Mitch, we need to rise up. I know it's in your heart. I know what you've tried to do, but we've got to care about these young men. So I bless you today. But I want you to leave here. Savannah, you're going to make a difference. I'm just telling you. God's got me praying for you all the time. You're going to make a difference. Study to show yourself approved. Father, I bless your people and they're going. I thank you for their patience to let me go on. But I bless them and declare that they're blessed coming, going, in the city, in the field. But let that bold warrior spirit rise up. Can I just have to say one other thing prophetically. If you'll become bold like you're supposed to be bold, if you'll let that warrior spirit, you know what they're going to start to say? I can tell they've been among God. I can tell. Wigglesworth could sit on a train and someone could sit across from him and never say a word, and the person would say, "You convict me." I've been asking God for that. I want it to where the Spirit of God that I carry becomes intimidating to where people want to change. They recognize it and want to change. I don't want to fit in. John Maxwell says status quo means the mess we're in. I don't want status quo. I'm tired of the mess that we're in. Apostolically, God is seeking to raise up a company of people that can change the Mid-South. I believe it's going to happen through people like Steve and Kelly and putting these plaques. So I leave you with this. Help us buy some of them. Save your money. Oh, you wouldn't have to cut out many Cokes or many, just cut out eating out one time a week and you can give $10. I mean, I don't know many places anymore you can eat out for less than $10. I mean, even McDonald's, if you get anything at all. So I bless you and you're going today. I declare you're blessed in Jesus' name. Amen.